morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, Michael Costantino. We have a full house today,
we
right?
We do. We're very lucky this morning. We have Women's March Sedona with us this morning, right here on the Democratic Perspective Show.
In March, too.
In March.
So it's very important.
We can't do that sort of... That's too complicated, confusing.
So maybe we should actually sort of them introduce themselves. Mike,
excellent
what do you
idea. Oh, wait. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, I'm Kathy Kinsella. And I live here in Sedona now for about over a year full-time and 6 years part-time before that. And been very happy to be getting involved in a lot of the local going-ons.
Very good.
I'm Peggy Chaikin, and I'm a retired teacher. I've lived in Cottonwood, Clarkdale, Flagstaff, Sedona over the last 45 years. I've been an activist in various forms in the communities and all the communities I've been involved with. I'm very happy to be here and part of the Women's March Sedona.
And my name is Michelle Grimm. Good morning, Sedona. I've always wanted to say that.
There we go. Natural. All right.
And I've lived here in Sedona off and on for 22 years. I work with my husband, Roy Grimm, in the real estate business. And I consider myself an accidental revolutionary.
There you go. Kathy Kinsella, Peggy Chaikin, Michelle Grimm, part of Women's March Sedona. And when you guys have been pretty active, let's just jump right into into the events, and then you can tell them why.
I guess people should know, if they weren't in Sedona, is that people from all over the Verde Valley came to a huge march that you guys staged.
1,500 right? people were here for the Women's March that we did in solidarity with the Women's March on Washington, which happened the day after the presidential inauguration. And yes, as you said, we had 1,500 women and men and children and animals that marched along with us.
Lots of doggies, yeah.
Yeah, lots of doggies. We count the dogs in every march we do, we count how many dogs participate. But it all started really from Michelle back in November, right after the election.
Yes, after the election, just a few days after, you know, I think collectively as a nation, we could all feel how scared a lot of people were, and a lot of people were paralyzed emotionally. And I was out on a hike one day out on the trail, and I just got inspired to say, you know what, we need to do something that's not against anything, but for something. And it's for the possibility that we have as a nation and as citizens to rise up and take a stand and do things that are going to make this country the way that we want it to be, and to not fall into the trap of the fear and the negativity that was paralyzing so many people. So I just felt inspired to organize and create that march. And we had about 75 people show up at that first march, and that was just through social media postings. It was just word of mouth. This is total grassroots movement, and it's really growing, and it's taking a life of its own.
Well, it is so. People are just so, as you mentioned, the candidate, the lying candidate, the now president, that can't seem to say anything that's true, but he was able to rally people around fear and hate. And that bothered an awful lot of people, and still does. We're going to talk about social media. If there's one constant on social media these days, it's this despair. Bernie Sanders is saying despair is not an option, but there is an awful lot of despair out there. And so, Women's March Sedona had this answer right away. That you're not going to despair. We're going to do something.
Well, and, Mike, you said that people really rallied around a lot of the negative message and lies and things that we're putting out there, but an equal or even greater number of people rallied in response saying, we don't accept that. And that's the people that we've been able to tap into via social media, via the newsletter that we have developed now to put information out there. There's an unprecedented number of people looking for ways to be involved, whether it's something like the Yavapai Food Council seeing an unprecedented number of food donations, to Democrats of the Red Rocks having breakfast meetings where the walls are bursting at the seams, whether it's any organization that you work with, there's just unprecedented numbers of people looking for a way to express their dissatisfaction with the way that things have turned out, in terms of that lies have become acceptable, that hatred, hate speech has become acceptable. We don't accept that. And as Michelle said, we're not an anti-group, we're a pro-group. We're pro-truth, we're pro-activism, we're pro-involvement, we're pro-community, and that's what we're trying to promote out there. And we're trying to channel the people, the 1,500 people that showed up at the Women's March. We've developed that into an email list of about 600 people that, you know, want information where to channel their energy. So we're putting information out there about how to get active around things like climate change, how to get active around education, how to get active on all sorts of community issues. And that's what we find is the rally and the response to the election.
Well, certainly all the things seem to have been targeted by the regime in the White House to not be supported, not support education, and not support seniors and all of those things.
Destroy the EPA.
So
and yours is not the only group. This whole re-election has generated a lot of creativity, and I know that some of you are members of different groups and different things and huddles and stuff. And we'll be talking to those people in the future, the individual people.
Keeping
and people
Sedona together.
Organizing around immigration.
What
do you see as your main focus, Peggy?
Oh, the main focus of our group of the
your
Sedona
group,
women.
What happened is the election of Donald Trump and these incredibly horrible appointments to the different cabinet posts has generated tremendous energy. I know in the Times today, Rachel Maddow's show, ratings are going up and so forth.
Yes. Well, we have a role to play in being the channels, or being the umbrella, or being the way that the other groups that are forming, the huddles and the pods, can communicate to people who want to join them. So through our website and our Facebook page and our e-blast, we give people the information of how they can join. They don't have to feel that they are all by themselves, frustrated and feeling that they've been awakened to the spirit of action, yet they don't know where to turn, they don't have the tools. It's getting finer, it's getting tuned to a more finer level as we keep developing ways that the groups can communicate with each other and put out calendars of events and ways they can gather with each other. And also provide, the various groups are providing speakers who come with tools that people can use. For example, just yesterday, you were there for the meeting that was sponsored by the group on immigration and helping our Latino community and other people who feel threatened by the ICE the new laws and proclamations that President Trump is putting out, where they're afraid, and
families
we
aren't
need
protected
the tools.
Anymore,
we need tools.
Well, that was a huge turnout.
There's
too,
a lot of. I heard someone comment say to me, I'm so glad we're going to be doing something concrete. The marches, you know, they don't really do anything. We're just marching. Well, you know, the marches play a big role because they bring people out to see each other. They build critical mass. They build confidence. They build energy. It's like the 100th monkey. The paradigm shift has to happen in the flesh. People have to feel body to body that they're standing in solidarity with all the groups.
That's real important. And don't keep your thought, but I want to mention that 1,500 people was huge in a community like a small community like we have. And so you had to be, as we all were, just taken surprised at the number, this group has seized on that and that opportunity for involvement and a far as I'm concerned, doing all the right things to capitalize on that interest.
The beauty of that march, though, was that it wasn't a mob scene. It was a well-organized march. We had guidelines coming down through the march in Washington, and we were ahead of the curve in involving our police department and getting a wonderful response. Michelle provided bullhorns for us to keep people on the sidewalks, and everyone was joyous and cooperative and so motivated to show that there wasn't going to be any kind of negativity there. We were very careful in our sign-making parties that we had to be selective about the positive message of our signs. Being proactive and positive is the main thing that we want to do here.
Marches are really a tool. I mean, they raise awareness on issues. They allow a community to come together in one place and express themselves. I mean, and they promote, you know, acceptance and diversity of different issues. It's a way to coalesce. I mean, marches are a wonderful tool.
So how do people contact you? How do they reach your Facebook page? Is that the main contact, Michelle?
Well, we have a couple of ways of contacting us and getting connected. One is the Facebook page, which is Women's March Sedona. So if you go onto Facebook and just search in the search bar Women's March Sedona, and then you can just click the button to join that page. And then we also have a newsletter that we're sending out about every 3 weeks now that's giving updates on different events and huddles, pods, speakers. There's a lot going on. So we're trying to stay on top of being a channel of information for that to get out there to everyone.
This is a paper newsletter that you can get in the mail or
it's
pick up.
It's an email.
Email
newsletter. And that is... We have a Gmail address. So that Gmail address to email us if you'd like to be added to that newsletter is womensmarchsedona@gmail.com. And that's women, plural, womensmarchsedona@gmail.com.
And the newsletter is good. As Peggy said before, we're trying to connect people to the issues that resonate to them specifically. So we've done three newsletters so far. They're a little bit lengthy, but what they try to do is cover things like immigration, climate change, education. We put the information out there about what is happening so you can scroll down and either look by subject matter or you can scroll down by date and you'll find all sorts of things. Like one of the things we're trying to promote now is this postcard campaign happening on March 15th. And the idea behind that is postcards, not letters, because letters to the White House, you know, have to be scanned and they don't go in the same way. So really for postcards to flood the U.S. postal system to be an absolute message of all the people that are saying we're concerned. We don't just accept this. We're watchdogs. We are aware. You can't just trot over us. We care about things like don't repeal the Affordable Care Act unless you have something really significant that you can put in place. We have yet to see that. The latest from Paul Ryan does not certainly meet muster. We care about education. We care about who's appointed to oversee these various parts of our government. We care. We care about
so anything that they do care about, they could put on the newsletter. The Trump regime has certainly given plenty of targets, ACA and the and the horrible Republican plan that'll kick millions of people off of Medicare and give a great $450 million tax cut to people that don't need it. I want to say again, we're talking to Kathy Kinsella, Peggy Chaykin, Michelle Grimm, all part of Women's March Sedona here this morning, talking about some political activism, some environmental activism, some educational activism. And if you want to, please get involved. Yes, the Ides of Trump. I have it on my social media page also, in two or three different ways, by the way, and my postcard is waiting to be mailed at home.
And people can mail multiple postcards and take a picture.
You can write more while you're waiting. I just want to add this. That
good point.
The real significance
never thought of that.
Of our Sedona Women's March is that we are focused locally and nationally. You know, people in small towns in rural Arizona, the hotbed of conservatism, one of many, need to know that they're not standing alone. People out there in Camp Verde and Cornville and Rimrock, it's Sedona Verde Valley. We're all unified in getting our voices out that we exist not just on the national issues, but on state issues. What's going on in our state legislature? Looking into what's going on with the legislators getting bills out of a bill churning unit called ALEC. Getting more aware and educating yourselves about how you can take action to shift what's going on here in Arizona for the benefit of ourselves and our children and our grandchildren.
86% of Arizonans want increased educational funding, and the sad and sorry proposal that passed, something I read a thing the other day, only 30% ended up in the classroom of Prop 301. And it's been, and it was only 70% of the settlement. In other words, the history is that the state lost a lawsuit. The education community in Arizona was owed billions of dollars, and a Prop 301 was offered as a settlement. Education is still starving in Arizona. And there are many, and part of the interest of this group is to get some more funding for education.
We do want to take a minute to thank El Portal for their support for the show. El Portal's interest is to keep a civilized dialogue going on all different medias and stuff. We'd like to thank them. Great breakfast over there. Great place to have your friends come if they come to Sedona.
The cutest little boutique hotel in Sedona.
And very, very dog-friendly.
We can vouch for that, too.
And dog-friendly. And, Steve Segner is a great supporter of the show. And although he's getting his social media posts are showing frustration. We need to get him more involved in this group, I think.
Well, we do have something for everyone, so absolutely.
One bit of legislation out of our state group down there that did not pass because activists showered them with postcards and calls and every blast. They wanted to cause people like us to be taken in for racketeering.
That's right.
If you had formed a march or a gathering and any kind of any type of violence occurred, the people that organized it could be arrested under racketeering charges. Unbelievable.
There is nothing more un-American that I could imagine. You know, I'm just a shocking loss of rights. And thank goodness for people speaking up, because something like that.
Speaking up.
This crazy legislature could have passed, and
it would have affected the right as well as the left. In other words, if the Tea Party held a demonstration and there was some violence at it, they didn't plan it, they could all be arrested and charged with racketeering too. I think so. It was mostly aimed at guys like you. But it also, I think when they started thinking about it, oh, my gosh, you know, our people could all be in it.
There's too much legislation coming out of there without much thought. Some bills are just signed without having been read because they're written for the legislature somewhere else. And they just don't have
ALEC,
the time. They don't have time to read those bills coming out of
ALEC. Please look at our podcasts on the American Legislative Exchange Council. If you wonder why America has shifted to the right in the last 30 years, it's because this group has been writing legislation. What a good idea, by the way, subversive as hell, writing legislation and providing it to overworked or underworked legislators. You know, we used to say, I moved to Sedona in 1972, and you'd hear the old guys talk down at the Oak Creek Tavern about Arizona legislature is in session for 90 days. That's a long time to hold your breath. You know, and that's it. They weren't 90 days at the time. And when the hope was they wouldn't do anything completely, utterly stupid during that time. I think the rule still applies. When the legislature is in session, you're holding your breath that they're not going to attack women or they're not going to do something terrible to children or education. And so on. So what's up, guys? What do we got coming next here?
You had a recent march, right? A small march?
We did.
We We had a march on Wednesday, March 8th, this past week, for International Women's Day, which is celebrated internationally. And we just felt it was important to specifically march on that day to celebrate and to empower the women's movement, which we believe is rising like never before. And that, you know, there were men there, there were children, there were five dogs at that march. And it was, you know, we just really feel it's necessary and important to recognize the energy that's behind all of this. And it was a beautiful march. We had 100 people. Mm-hmm.
And then we
for that.
Followed it up with a video program that we did in Java Love Cafe. And we want to thank Java Love Cafe for always opening up their space to us and welcoming us there for little meetings and bigger events. And
right
so thanks
here,
to them.
Right next to the West Sedona Post Office, Java Love Coffee.
Yeah. I couldn't get in.
As Peggy sips her cup.
your last event, you guys were packed to the gills.
It was great.
Wave.
And part of the video program is that, you know, times are so drastically different than anything that's been experienced in the past that those people who may be sensing that but don't know where to turn, that there is a place to turn. It's time to just not just dwell on it. It's time to get up. It's time to march. It's time to write. It's time to, you know, speak out. So we're trying, again, to provide those means. We also have a couple of things coming up. I, again, want to stress the postcard campaign, though, and give the address for that because, again, we're really looking for record numbers. And what we're saying is, write a bunch of postcards, not just one. Get together with your friends, as these huddles or pods do. You know, take a bunch of them when you have a nice pile. Take a picture of that pile of postcards. Post that on your Facebook page. Let's get the message out there. And those postcards should go be written to the President, the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20500. We have postcards. Any postcard will do. I'm sure that President Trump would love to get a lovely picture of Cathedral Rock. So that's, you know, we all had those postcards. So we could send those out. We also were lucky enough, Michelle at her own expense had a couple of postcards, about 100 postcards printed up. And then we had a donation from somebody of 1,000 postcards. So we have pre-printed postcards with the Women's March image on it. That can be sent to the President to let them know that Sedona is watching. And again, the things that we're saying is just two simple sentences about I'm concerned about religious discrimination, you know, or I'm concerned about environmental protection. I care about LGBTQ rights. You know, that's what we want to get out there. Those messages about all of the issues that we care.
Are your 1,000 postcards gone?
No, we still have a few left. We've been collecting them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can give you some here at the radio station.
All right, great.
So if they're addressed to Donald Trump, you have to keep the messages really short. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, like a tweet?
Yeah.
140 characters.
Also,
emojis are really welcome on postcards.
There you go.
April 12th, we're having another event at Java Love. Thank you, Java Love. And it is going to be a talk on climate change and what we as individuals can do to affect that and affect it on lots of levels, on our personal level in our everyday life and also by taking political action. And that's another great postcard to send. You can draw a little picture of the icebergs melting, watercolor pictures, art. Speaking of art, I just want to say at our last march, we had a wonderful song that was written by a performer who was inspired to share that with us. And we had a poetess come who had written poetry. Artists out there, this is the time for songs and art and inspiration to keep us going in what Kathy is careful to say is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we'd like the marathon to be not too long, but we have to keep our energies up and flowing and inspire each other.
And we have to keep them up because of our next big event. So we've been mentioning these things, but we are looking for another large-scale march on April 22nd. There are 3 national marches that are taking place in the month of April in Washington, D.C. The first is on April 15th. There's going to be a tax protest asking for the president to release his taxes, as he long promised to do and is sort of falling off of everybody's radar, that we do not have this information about conflicts that are out there, which would probably be revealed in those taxes, and we want those documents. The public is entitled to see this information. Another national march that's happening on April 22nd is the National March for Science. Again, we have an administration on the national level and to some degree here on the state level that just ignores science, the science about climate change, the science about evolution, science in general. And
dumping waste into streams.
Right, exactly, environmental impact. So that day also on the 22nd happens to be Earth Day. But the climate change march, the People's Climate March, the People's Climate March National is happening on April 29th. So what we've decided here in Sedona, the Women's March, is that we would do one march in April to commemorate those three events that are happening. And we chose Earth Day, April 22nd, to do that, to try and tie in those messages.
I see. Yes. You know, they're all, as many know, that there's all sorts of things happening. I mean, the groups of scientists are addressing national security as related to climate change, that there is nothing more important. You could tug North Korea or poke Putin in the eye and all these other things, but climate change is a powerful impact on national security, and to have the regime in the White House ignoring it and making a point of it is disturbing.
Well, we've had our own local group, Inspiration Sedona, that's put on film series having to do with climate change. They show them every, I think it's third Thursday.
They've been on the show twice, yeah.
Yeah, and we're aligning with the Northern Arizona Climate Alliance, which comes out of Flagstaff, and we're starting a huddle here, and that's why on April 12th we're having the speaker come. And that group is going to grow here and align itself with Inspiration Sedona. There's different ways that people have, as our speaker yesterday said, talents that they can throw into the pile. And then the talents are sorted out. And you might have someone who does social media really well, someone who does news releases really well, and other people who have a lot of social connections or political connections. Well, all of these different people come together and target the basic policies and things that motivate them to take action.
Well, that's it. And I think there's here on Democratic Perspective, what Women's March Sedona is doing is the essence of activism, of saying, you know, the calls matter, the postcards matter, the marches for that matter matter. That it is true that it's easy to sit back and say, oh, yeah, okay, a bunch of women walking around Sedona, and they're not going to, we're talking about Donald Trump and billionaires. They're not going to affect anything, or Doug Ducey couldn't give a fat rat's behind about what, but it's not true. You guys showed it on some of the group, the gathering legislation, protest legislation.
It's making a real difference. There have been a number of bills, especially on the state level, that have been introduced that, because of public pressure, have not been forwarded into committees to get hearings. They've died this quick death that they deserve to die because they're not well thought out pieces of legislation, and they're harmful to our communities.
So that's just the message we're trying to get. It does matter that you know, don't turn away from the radio, or don't listen to the podcast. Find out how to contact these folks and join them at Java Love when they're there, and see how you can help.
I think if you look at the individual things, you can say, oh, it doesn't matter, it didn't have an effect. But when you look at the multi-phased and many, many things, it really adds up to beginning to have some effect. This is, I think, is what you, I think Peggy alluded to. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Right. This is going to be a long haul. And people who are interested in being activists can't quit tomorrow. They're going to have to keep it up until the job gets done. But these things do have an effect. And I think it's important, and I really appreciate the fact you guys are being creative about how to do this. Because people need to have some fun and do interesting things too, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's about finding ways to work together. We've identified about 12 different organizations that are getting active that have not really been active before. These include some of the small huddles, pods that are working on specific. Some of them get together because they like doing postcards. Some of them get together and do different activities based on an issue. You know, you can form these pods and huddles however it suits you and your groups. Small groups, 5 people, 8 people, whatever it is, your neighbors, your friends. They're fun. They feel good because you're with like-minded people and you have a way to express yourself. But organizations that are forming pods out of the Indivisible Movement, Save Sedona, Keeping Sedona Together, Resist Sedona, Inspiration Sedona was mentioned, the North Arizona Climate Alliance. All of these groups are active, and we look at ourselves as the conduit of information about what everybody's doing, that we can get that out there, and we can hook you up with the group that speaks to you.
I just rejoined the League of Women Voters.
League of Women Voters. Yeah, bravo.
Yes, they're just doing wonderful stuff.
Well, I was a member for a long time. This time I sent it locally. You know, a lot of times you just do it online, but I thought I'm going to join. And I got a nice letter from Barbara Luttrell.
Barbara Luttrell.
She has fans.
She's getting a sitting ovation here.
Apparently.
You have to stay close to the mics.
She does a lot as you guys know. She deserves the ovation for sure, mentioning that rejoining the league and all the cool things that they do.
Well, I'm actually working closely with Barbara at the moment. We're developing a candidate training program. We're calling it Candidate Boot Camp, and it's scheduled for 3 days in successive Wednesdays in May. And what this is. Again, there's unprecedented interest out there. People are saying, if he could run for office, I could run for office. And
go
we're saying,
Oprah.
Not only can you, but you can do much better. But also with that, though, is a responsibility to make sure that people have the tools that they need to run. There are different things when you think about running for office what office is best suited for you? What is your skill set? Do you care about issues on the state level or on the city level or on the national level? How do you, you're thinking about this for the first time. How do you do things like raise money? How do you do things like, register your campaign filing requirements? All of those real training skills we're going to offer in Candidate Boot Camp in May.
What's the statewide organization that favors women?
Arizona List. Sort of like an Emily's List on the state level.
Yes, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Katie Hobbs down in Phoenix.
Yep, right.
Angelica Cosentino and a few others are getting involved with the Arizona List in the Phoenix area.
There's also a Emerge. I don't know if
that's,
you heard of
that's
Emerge.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
That the. They have some wonderful instruction and support, I think, is the main thing that people look for when they want to become a candidate. And as you know, the population centers of Phoenix, there's 4.5 million people down there, and so sometimes their voices in the Maricopa County the progressives are speak a little louder because they're closer to the seats of power. But we are certainly making ourselves heard also through things like Democratic Perspective.
Well, we are in solidarity with them and want them to know that we're up here and we will appreciate their solidarity with us and their help for us, because it's a far stretch for candidates. And Angela LaFever, when she ran for state office, found out how much traveling and how many small towns she had to go to that, and Nikki Bagley, when she was running, having to go for all over the place to run. We just need that support. We need the financial support. We need the psychological support, emotional support.
You have a candidate that is head and shoulders
so
above the others.
Yeah.
And yet, because of those things that you mentioned,
mountain ranges.
It's so difficult to get to finish in the win. I mean, it's hard for someone like me to believe that Angela or the others that could lose Nikki. I mean, with the competition, but there's the R's and the D's, the Republicans and the Democrats, and there's still people will vote R no matter what.
Yes, but now I think coming out of the Women's March and the social media aspect of it, we really need to organize around different ways of having people in more rural, isolated areas get to know the candidates and get to know the platforms and make informed choices and not just go for a letter. Break out of the mold of being a one-issue person and look at the big picture of what happens cradle to grave in terms of the care of people of all walks and of all economic strata, how they are cared for by your party, how they are cared for, how they will be treated by a candidate. What's the view of the planet? What's your candidate's view of the health of individuals living on reservations or living not in your little neighborhood, in your little circle?
My wife and a friend just went down and they visited Sylvia Allen's people. They visited McCain's, Flake's, and the person, they managed to at least get and talk to people who disagreed with them everywhere. But Bob Thorpe was absent. It's like his offices were closed. He had no one there. Yeah. So the mysterious Bob Thorpe is still
out
there.
He works for us. He works for you. Where is he?
Well, that's what one of Sylvia Allen's, I think, her
if you can find Bob Thorpe, by the way, we'll have him on the show.
Office manager said, well, Sylvia Allen represents the majority. The majority of people voted for her, and I forgot, and we don't really represent you because you didn't vote for her. That's pretty much what they said. That's pretty much Donald Trump's attitude
insane,
toward the American
the way,
people.
You know,
well, but that's their attitude,
it's
Mike. They
sad,
really think
it's
that.
A sad, sad story because many people don't vote, and that's the crux of it. So the majority of the minority is what we have. We have people voted in by a minority of people voting.
But we don't represent you because our side won.
Right.
That's not. Right.
I mean,
yeah.
The whole idea of being elected representative is you represent everybody, the people who voted for you and the people.
Well, Democrats
but you don't
think so.
Obviously,
I guess.
Go if you're going to just represent the people you think voted for you, to go out and just say that's what you're doing seems like it tells you something about the national dialogue.
It's a slap in the face.
It's a simplified view of reality.
And I would like to speak to the masses of Americans right now that had stopped voting and that had become politically disengaged that are now being resurrected and activated as a result of this election. And I'm a person that never considered myself political. I've always voted, but I've never become involved in the political process. And now I want to know as much as possible about what's going on. So this whole crisis that we're experiencing is pulling the veil back from the government to see how things really work and how they don't work at the base level and how things need to be transformed. So I think this is a huge blessing in the marathon, you know, in the long run.
All right. So we have a problem. Say at the EPA, you have a guy who's been taking money from the oil and gas industry in my native Oklahoma, and you have to live there to really know how much the EPA managed to clean up the states, although they're having many earthquakes everywhere now because of fracking. Yeah. But how do you in Sedona, how do you relate to, say, having someone who wants to dismantle the agency that protects our air and water? What can you do, I guess, in a small town in Arizona? Or can you? What's your focus on this? You can.
Well, it's the ripple effect, you know. I mean, they have to know that the people in small towns are as aware on these issues as people from the large cities. I mean, it's the way we become part of a larger movement. You know, you drop the pebble and the ripples go out. Every postcard does matter. Every phone call does matter. There's no longer time to sit back and wait for somebody else to do it, and there's no longer time to, you know, we all want to energize ourselves and, you know, sit and, you know, go to yoga and meditate, but there's a time to get up off of the mat as well and lend your voice and lend your feet and get out there and do something. It's only by sitting back that we've allowed this to happen. We've allowed this to happen. We really have. We all have to take responsibility for the people who are in office.
We got Kathy Kinsella, Peggy Chaikin, and Michelle Grimm from the Women's March Sedona. Peggy, what do you got?
Well, I would say that we all represent spheres of influence in our own lives, and we're not just isolated here in Sedona. We have relatives, we have friends, we travel. The more informed we get, the more we can speak out, and we need to have conversations with people that are on the other side or who are uninformed, and just keep spreading the word and working as much as we can on our own environment right here, preserving the integrity of what we have here, and yet talking to people about the bigger picture and staying informed and keeping sharing the message. Sharing.
It's interesting. We're finding, and now in the days of social media, we're in a unique position to be sharing information back and forth. Okay, the fact that Moral Mondays are happening in North Carolina, we're here in Sedona, mm-hmm. Arizona, we know about that. And we know about that, you know, and we lend support to that. We know what they're doing. We are able to get some of their podcast from Reverend Barber and play those for the local audience here. We're sharing that information. I know my own self through Facebook, I'm in touch with people that are being active in Georgia, you know, in North Carolina, in California, in Massachusetts, in New York. We're sharing information back and forth. I had a friend in Savannah who said, hey, you know, when you were in New York, you had experience on some of these budget issues. You know, can you tell me about this? Because I want to go to my city council here in Savannah and speak on this issue.
That's right.
So we shared information back and forth. There are no limitations. You know, we can all learn from each other. We all put it out there. We're all connected, and it all makes a difference when we lend our voice. It's when we don't lend our voice that it falls silent.
And how can we move our own city council in the direction of more progressive actions in terms of our immigration issues? Can we become maybe not totally a sanctuary city, but have a statement made on the integrity of the city of Sedona in terms of being protective of the immigrant population that we have here? Can we have our city council stand up as they should for the area around Sedona to preserve it from land trades and the state takeover of the land? Can we have our people here take office on the city council if our city council is not progressive enough to be a shining light? We need to be each of us shining lights and get our towns to shine to outward towards the rest of the
we
world.
We want to say that we have Democrats of the Red Rocks are one of our supporters, and they do have their breakfast meeting coming up March 16th at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. The Democrats of the Red Rocks have these breakfasts monthly on Thursday.
Third Thursday
and,
of the month.
We have third Thursday of the month. We have a spokesman from the DNC.
Yes. Doug Ballard's a great guy. Many people here know Doug. I think it'll be a really interesting and very interactive meeting. You'll be able to really talk to Doug about the Democratic Party and your own feelings and stuff. Should be a lot of questions and answers.
March 16th.
This is an opportunity to help talk about actual platform, to talk to your local representative who goes on and votes on what becomes the platform of a party. If you don't get involved on this level and having those conversations, that message can't be carried forward. It's up to us to deliver that message, and I think having Doug Ballard there is a wonderful opportunity. It's going to be a very interesting
March 16th, 8:30 at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill.
Good breakfast.
And a good breakfast.
Yeah, the food is great.
Yeah, all right.
I'd get there at 8 if you want to have time for breakfast before the program starts. But it is a good program. Women's March, Sedona. Any last words? We've got 2.5 seconds
yes,
left.
Yes, mark your calendars. April 22nd, we want to surpass the numbers we had for the Women's March. April 22nd, March for all three issues, climate change, taxes, and science.
And you can go on to the Facebook. Go ahead, Michelle.
Women's March, Sedona on Facebook. And I just want to say a big shout out to have women run for office.
Yay.
That is really how you change
that. Do you have a last shout out here?
I just want to give you the date again, April 12th for Climate Change at Java Love. Come and hear what you can do, how we can all act together to help us move forward on climate action.
All right. Don't forget, you have our podcasts on VBID.org. This show will be up there later in the week. Please listen to this show and this Democratic Perspective show and all our podcasts on VBID.org, and it's also on other sites around the Internet. So all you got to put in is Kazm, K-A-Z-M, 780, and you'll find our show at various places on the Internet.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks,
thank
folks.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.